fitter, happier. A program about your health for your health.
Sorry, I'm just enjoying that theme song intro there. Overall, West Australians enjoy some of the highest standards of living in the world. And while men and women enjoy massive gains in healthcare services over previous generations, the outcomes have not been equal. Improvements in both the overall health and lifespan of men often lags behind those of women. In response to this, the WA Health Department has launched a new policy to address the poorer health outcomes for boys and men. Joining me now is Men's Health Advocate Dean Dyer. Good morning, Dean.
Good morning. Hello.
Thank you very much for joining me. Could we begin by discussing why men and boys are having these poorer health outcomes?
Well, we could. So there's two answers to that question. One is the practical, more obvious reasons. Males have significantly shorter life expectancy. They carry a far greater burden of disease, and males are much less likely to use any allied health services. The majority of the suicides of males, it's the leading cause of death. Suicide's the leading cause of death for 15 to 44-year-old males. And males make up the majority of injuries, people attending accident and emergency wards, casualties at hospitals. They make up the majority of the workplace fatalities, road trauma and fatalities, majority of the homeless, majority of the jail population, the majority of children's behaviour problems and learning difficulties at schools. So that's the first answer to that question. So that's all right, what's on top and what's really obvious to see, and the statistics back all that up. The second part answer to your question is that underneath all that is that men have a less of an understanding and awareness and knowledge of their own health and their own well-being, and also they have less of a knowledge and an understanding and an awareness of the services that are out there that potentially could help them avoid becoming all these statistics.
And, I mean, just to clarify, when we are talking about these lower health outcomes, though that data has been accounted for with gendered differences, hasn't it?
What do you mean by gendered differences?
Well, you know, we wouldn't say, well, men have zero fatalities from ovarian cancer.
Yes, that's right. So we're taking into account, obviously, you know, we're not comparing prostate cancer and breast cancer.
No.
No, that's right.
So let's talk a little bit then about those issues beneath the surface. So we know about the outcomes and where that's being manifested. What are some of the underlying causes then? Why are men less aware of these services or less inclined to use them?
Look, there's a couple of answers to that question as well, if I may be so bold. There are some... in the policy that was launched last week, the first ever men's health and wellbeing policy for WA, which we're all very, very excited about, it recognises some priority population groups of males, and that some groups of males in our community can be discriminated against or feel marginalised for various reasons. Now, some of those groups are men who live in poor socio-demographic areas, for example. Men who have less education, men who for some reason struggle with significant social factors, e.g. Financial stress or family breakdown, older men, isolated men, people who live in rural and regional remote communities, Aboriginal men, et cetera, et cetera. There's many priority population groups, even amongst the males.
So we're sort of talking about social disadvantages being magnified, and that's appearing in individual health outcomes.
Well, it's part of the education and awareness, isn't it? So if a man, like I'm just about to give a men's health talk today to a bunch of working class blokes, and part of my job is to inform men. Yes, I advocate on their behalf and I speak on their behalf at times. But another part of my job is to educate and inform and raise the awareness and raise the knowledge of men and boys, young men, so that they're aware. I think if men were given the basic information about health, their own health and their own well-being, and then encouraged to get proactive about it and manage it for themselves, I think that we could go a long way to reducing the poor statistics in our state.
Mm. Now, as you mentioned, this is WA's first men's health policy. I understand that it's got three main aims.
Yeah, there's three goals. It's and I'd just like to point out that it's not just a men's health policy, it's a men's health and wellbeing policy, mm-hmm. and that's incredibly significant. But yeah, there's three goals in the men's health and wellbeing policy that was launched last week. And the first goal is that men are empowered to be proactive in managing their health and their wellbeing. And some of the things that might be happening underneath that goal is that men are encouraged to develop the personal skills and the awareness. So that's about empowering men to take more responsibility and control of their own health and wellbeing. Another point under that goal could be that the media begin to promote more positive messages of boys and men mm-hmm. taking care of their own health and wellbeing. Another aspect of that could be that the powers that be, you know, the services out there, the government departments, anybody who's involved in helping men and boys become healthier and well, employ more male staff in their health services and in their programs. And also that school programs are designed specifically for young men and boys in this area. So there's some of the priority areas under that first goal. If I can read the second goal for you, if you don't mind. Men have equitable access to services, including prevention and early intervention initiatives that meet their needs. So what that means is that there's opportunities to train and upskill health professionals and staff, as well as raising the knowledge and the awareness of men and boys. I think we also need to raise the knowledge and the awareness of health professionals and staff that men, males, can operate completely differently to females in the community with regard to their own health mm-hmm. and risk factors and preventative factors. So it is about training and upskilling health professionals and staff that work in services. We absolutely need to address the she'll be right attitude. That is, oh, well, if no one's complaining about it, we don't have to worry about it. Because what happens is men and boys don't complain about it until they become a statistic and they're in hospital or they're lying on the roadway somewhere after a road crash or a workplace fatality or et cetera, et cetera. We absolutely need to develop an action group that brings all the stakeholders together. Anybody who's interested in men's and boys' health and wellbeing, let's get them all together in one room and start having conversations about how we can improve it. And also this is about integrating this policy into local planning and local workplaces, which is what I'm doing today in some ways because I'm actually down in Kwinana at a large workplace and I'm just about to address a lot of male workers down here.
Mm-hmm.
So there's some examples for the second goal. The third goal, men's health and wellbeing needs a monitored, evaluated and informed continual improvement of programs, services and initiatives. So that's the third goal on the policy. And if I can mention one thing underneath that goal, and I think that sums it up, and that is that men are meaningfully involved in the design and the development of these programs. So in short, what we're talking about in this policy is a paradigm shift. Way of thinking about men's health and wellbeing.
It certainly sounds very ambitious and quite sweeping. How are the outcomes going to be measured?
That's probably up to the people who are responsible for and accountable
mm-hmm.
for serving members of our community in whatever area, whether that's physical health, whether that's mental health, whether that's workplace safety, whether that's road safety. I mean, there are already many, many people employed to be accountable and responsible for those statistics, and I think they're the ones you probably need to ask that question of. This is actually a policy,
mm-hmm.
and the Department of Health will follow on with some strategic plan after this, I understand, at some point in the near future. So the short answer is that I think all of us need to be accountable for these outcomes.
Mm. Well, I think that's a good way then to ask for anyone who's listening and wants to know more about it, whether they are a health practitioner or just a male audience member, where can they go to find out more about this?
Yeah, so, as I said, the policy is truly groundbreaking. It's the first one of its kind in WA. Indeed, it's the first one of its kind in Australia.
So oh, right. That's fantastic.
Yeah, no other state in Australia has a men's health and wellbeing policy, I can tell you that right now. If people want to get a hold of the policy and have a look, which I'd highly recommend, the Department of Health website would be the place to go. So can I mention that now?
Yep, sure.
Yeah, so it's healthywa.wa.gov.au. So that's healthywa.wa.gov.au.
Fantastic. Well, unfortunately, we're out of time there, Dean, but I hope we can follow up on this as the program begins to be implemented.
Excellent. No, I'd love to have another opportunity to speak to you and your audience. Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining me. That was Men's Health Advocate Dean Dyer, and discussing there a groundbreaking piece of public policy, the very first in the country, specifically targeting men and boys' health and well-being.